Amen. Well, it's sure good to be back with you today. And I got my dates mixed up, and I missed Brother Logston's conference last week because I thought it was going to be next week. And I thought, well, I'll be at Brother Shepherd's at Island Ford, and then I'll drive home and drive back again in a couple of days for Brother Logston, but I had that all backwards. Nevertheless, I'm sure glad to be here. Let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm 118, Psalm 118. And we're not going to read the whole psalm. The whole psalm is a wonderful psalm, of course, as all of the Bible is. But I do want to read a couple of remarks, a remark that Matthew Henry in his commentary has on this psalm before I read it. He said, we have here an illustrious prophecy of the humiliation and exaltation of our Lord Jesus, his sufferings and the glory that should follow. And so I want to read just two different passages here, beginning in verse 5. But before we read, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you for this beautiful, beautiful day that we have to be in your house. And Lord, we're thankful for the privilege it is and the liberty we have to be in your house this morning. We thank you for the good reminders of the sanctity of this day that we've had already in the Sunday school lesson. And we pray, dear God, you'll help us to honor you and to receive all that we can possibly get from your word this morning. Stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance of all that we have to be grateful for, and especially in terms of what we've just addressed in this hymn, that cross upon which our Savior died, and what it means to us today. And if there be any here that are unsaved, we pray that you would convict them and save them before they leave the building today. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Now in verse 5, the psalmist said, I called upon the Lord in distress. Now what he's saying here is appropriate for thinking in future terms. He's speaking for us who are saved. Know this experience. He said, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. How true. The Lord, think about this. He said, the Lord is on my side. Amen. I will not fear what man can do unto me. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Now go over to verse 21. He says, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Please be seated. Now when the Bible says in verse 24, this is the day which the Lord hath made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. We ought to rejoice in the Lord every day, because if it weren't for the Lord, we wouldn't have this day or any other day. Amen? Amen. But he's not talking about every day of the year here in particular. He's talking about a very special day, a day that was prophetic, a day in which that prophecy was fulfilled, the day that Jesus Christ died for the sins of all mankind. And so he's talking about a day that is deserving of memorial sentiments. Amen? And we think this morning about tomorrow being Memorial Day. And Memorial Day is, some people a little confused about this, but probably none of you are, but Memorial Day and Veterans Day are distinguished by this. That is, on Memorial Day, we think about and commemorate all of those who have died, actually died in the service of their country. On Veterans Day, we honor those, the dead and the living, who have served their country in terms of military service. It's a day, Memorial Day, that has its origination really back during the times of the Civil War. The Civil War is what provoked a real setting aside of this day. And there was a bunch of ladies in 1862 in Savannah, Georgia, that had created a celebration, an assembly to honor those who had died in the Civil War. And then in 1863, some ladies in Gettysburg organized a big event. And in 1865, down in Charleston, South Carolina, they did a commemoration for those who had died during the Civil War, and especially I think they were remembering there were 3,000 blacks there who had been freed from slavery. And they were there to pay homage to the dead. By the way, there were 600,000, way over a half a million who died, mostly white people, who died to preserve the Union, and as a result, there was the emancipation of the slaves. I think that's pretty good reparations right there, don't you? Amen. Let's never forget that. And if you need a little added concrete to that idea, think about the what is this action, that affirmative action, where lots and lots and lots and lots and hundreds of thousands of people have given way financially, career-wise, and otherwise in deference to black people. And so reparations shouldn't even be on the tongue, much less on the mind. Furthermore, nobody should ever be put on a guilt trip about reparations, because the rivers of blood have been shed, and there's never been a nation. America was the last to implement slavery, but it was among the very first to get rid of it. Amen. So I just thought I'd get that in while I could. Amen. But today is a day of remembrance, and I want to try to draw a parallel from speaking of Memorial Day and what it represents, and this day that is being spoken of by the psalmist in Psalm 118 and verse 24, where he says he's rejoicing, he's exulting in this day. He says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made." Oh, what a happy day when God sent his Son to die for our sins. Amen. What a day. So I want you to be thinking, as I try to draw these parallels as quickly as I can, about this Memorial Day being a day of remembrance. And we draw these parallels with the day that Jesus died on Calvary. And to me, it's wonderful that almost every single hymn and the special just so complimented and supported the message from God's Word. But this is a day of remembrance. Now, we're living in days, I'll say more about it in a minute, but we are living in days where most things patriotic, things that count, are being bypassed and forgotten and encouraged to be forgotten. Now, not long ago, I saw the title of a book, and the title of the book was Forget the Alamo. Think about that. And as I thumbed through the pages, I realized that I was looking at one big collection of bald-faced lies. One right after that, a sixth grader that knew anything about real history would discount. But they would have us forget our history. And the devil would have us forget about Jesus and his cross. So I want to talk about a day of remembrance, and also this is a day to rejoice, and it's a day for renewal. One of the happiest times of my childhood, I've told you before that I wasn't brought up in a Christian home, but my parents were brought up, both of them, in old-timey, strong Christian homes. My father's dad was a Pentecostal preacher, And they were just old-time country people that went to church and tried their best to raise their kids that way, but we never went to church. But once a year, we would go out and celebrate Memorial Day in Iberia, Missouri, at the old Curry Church House that had a cemetery out back. And I remember we'd come out, people would come out, kinfolk from the city and out around the country and even from different states, and we'd all meet out there and we'd spend the whole morning cleaning up the graveyard. We called it Decoration Day back then. And we'd clean up that graveyard and rake it all down and put flowers out and really, really get into that. And then we'd have dinner on the ground and the kids would all get out and play in the grounds and in the woods. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful, happy time. And then there'd be the preacher preach on something and it was just a wonderful time in my memory. But Memorial Day is a day of remembrance in that it is a day, number one, that's associated with great challenges. Now, if there's any people here that especially like to read and like to read history, I had just finished reading a book called Against All Odds. And it is it's one of the most remarkable books that I've ever read in my life. It's nonfiction, of course, and it's about men who won the Medal of Honor during World War II. It's the most fascinating thing you'll ever read. It's just unbelievable, the courage, the bravery, the sacrifice that young men, most of them not even out of their teens and in their early 20s, the bravery that they exhibited during World War II. That'd be a book it's by Ron Kershaw, and it's a real page turner. If you want to get that. But it brings to mind the great challenges that our nation has faced. Challenges from enemies up until recently from without. Foreign enemies. But our forefathers warned us that the greatest enemies, the most dangerous enemies we could ever face would be enemies that would rise up from within. That's where we are now. But Memorial Day is honoring soldiers who, for the most part, have died facing these great challenges to our nation. And when we talk about these challenges and remembering them, we remember them as being grave threats. Threats to our liberty. That's why the War of Independence was fought. And threats worldwide. That's why the Second World War was fought. And before that, threats to our country as far as the Union. I could elaborate on that a little bit, but I won't. But nevertheless, there was a threat to the Union. You can study all you can to decide for yourself where the real threat came from. But those were grave threats that we faced. Some of them very real. Most of the wars that we fought haven't been what they would call just wars. But some of them have been. Sometimes there have been a lot of black flags. Black flags are manipulated wars. They're phony wars. They're things that politicians throw up to get people involved, to get them distracted from their deeds. And lots of men and women have lost their lives because of these fabricated wars that really weren't real. But the psalmist is talking about, and what we're meant to remember every Sunday in a special way, is a great threat involving the eternal, think about this, the eternal loss of our souls. Our souls were in great danger. The souls of all of mankind. The Bible says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all. For that all have sinned. The wages of sin is death. Eternal separation from God. The wages of sin is death, but the rest of that verse says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When we celebrate Memorial Day today and think about those who've died in battle and standing up before these great threats to our nation. We think about the Lord Jesus and the great threat that existed where our eternal destiny was concerned and our souls. But we remember about those wars too. Today, people who are thinking about it are celebrating not only the fact of these great threats being met, but they're also celebrating great triumphs. Great triumphs. You've watched the documentaries, the old blurred black and white videos of after World War II and the celebrations, the ticker tape parades all over the country and all of that. When the war was won in Europe, they call it VE Day, Victory in Europe. When the war was won over the Japanese, they designated that VJ Day, Victory over Japan. And it was celebrated all across the country. I remember one of my vivid memories of my childhood. I wasn't even old enough to be in school. We were living down in the country. And I was about, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years old. Had a big old radio, big box radio. My dad was at work, and we were there in a little town called Olean, Missouri. Didn't have anything but a feed mill. And the best part about that, that's where my mom got her flour sacks to make our clothes with. But one day we were in the house, and it was in the summertime, and it came over the radio that the Korean War was over. I had an uncle in the Korean War. When he came home, he had machine gun shells that grazed both sides of his legs up and down, and on the inside and on the outside. But when that announcement came over the radio, I didn't understand it, being as little as I was, but my mother went wild. She grabbed my little hands and just about yanked me off of the floor and literally danced all over the house. She was so happy that triumph had been achieved there in Korea over the North Koreans. And it was a great day of celebration, celebrating a great triumph. But I'm thinking of a day that is a greater day than VE Day or VJ Day. I'm thinking about VS Day. Jesus' victory over sin for us. And furthermore, the psalmist is really writing about this. VG Day, which is Victory over the Grave Day. We wouldn't be assembling today if it had stopped at the cross. But we're here today celebrating not so much his death as we're celebrating his resurrection every single Sunday. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55 through verse 57, Paul is exulting. He said, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. And here's the bestest part of all. He won those victories all by himself. There were no allies involved, no legions of angels from heaven. There was no help whatsoever. Nobody could do it but him, and he did it all by himself. When he carried a cross for our sakes up Calvary's hill and allowed himself to be nailed on it, and to suffer and bleed and die to atone for our sins. Amen. And furthermore, he'd already said, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of myself. But there's more. He said, if I lay it down, I will take it up again. What a Savior. Amen. You talk about a VS day and a VG day. We have a triumph to celebrate. This is a day, Memorial Day, that is celebrating in lieu of great challenges. But this is also a day that is associated with great cost. You know, when people go out as we did yesterday and the whole family assembled and put some flowers on a grave, when people tomorrow, them that do, go out to celebrate Memorial Day, they'll be thinking about a great cost that has been paid. Now, the cost in all of these wars where men and women have died, by the way, there shouldn't be one woman in the military except in clerical duty or medical. I'm just going to tell you that because, listen, young people need to know the truth. You say, well, that's just your opinion. It's an educated opinion. And correct. Now, I don't mean to offend anybody. I know that people have, I'm not going to spend any much of my time apologizing. I just want you to know I love you and I appreciate, but I think people are confused and on the wrong track and not paying much attention to their Bibles when they let their women and girls get involved in these military things where they have no business. And then that's my opinion. Here's my disclaimer. That is mine. That is not the pastor of this church is necessary. It's my, all mine. Okay. That's a day associated with great cost in terms of those who lost a loved one. Amen. Mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters who lost their loved one. And many of them have been girls and women, sad to say. But the cost involved in the loss of a loved one, it's devastating to family and friends to get the notice to have it happen. Great cost in terms of those who have lost a loved one. They weren't there to see it, but they lost their loved one. And there was great cost involved in the day that the psalmist is talking about, to someone who lost a loved one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God watched every bit of the most minute details as his Son went to the cross and suffered and died there to win a victory for us. Amen. Talk about the loss of a loved one. And there's cost to those who have been the ones to actually lose their lives. Sometime you ought to look, and I think it's brought out in this book I told you, I just finished reading, about the ages of those who have died in our wars. You know, wars are, somebody said, they're set up, put up by old men, but they're fought by young men for the most part. And these are the ones who've actually lose their lives, those in their teens, in their early 20s, who will never see a child born, know what it is to be a father and a husband starting a new family. That was taken away on some beach somewhere, in some jungle somewhere. And they'll never know that. Because they lost their life. And that's what really Memorial Day is all about, remembering that. But let's, you and I, never forget that there was one who was willing to die in our place, that a soul so unworthy might live. Remember Jesus said, "No man taketh my life, I lay it down of myself." So this is a day for remembrance. Every Sunday is. And it's a day for rejoicing. Rejoicing why? Number one, because of what's been done for the sake of our freedom. Amen. Brother Hall is one of many. You can be reminded every time you see him and watch him of what has been done for the sake of our freedom. Arlington National Cemetery and all of these military cemeteries across the country, you can be reminded of what has been done for the sake of our freedom. Our freedom as citizens today is shaky, to say the least. And people are so ignorant today. You know, it's about half and half. I think it's about half and half. It seems like the polls indicate that half of the people in America, and it's really true of the young people, half think it would be just fine if we became a socialistic, which is the gateway to full-blown communism. Half of the young people, the educated, ignorant young people, think it would just be just fine if we were communists, which means we would lose our freedom. The biggest conglomeration of the most evil and wicked people who have ever lived on the face of planet Earth are governing this country and running a national propaganda system called the mainstream media. And we are on the very verge of losing our liberty. More and more of it's being lost every day. James Madison, the father of the Constitution, said, "There are more instances of the abridgment of the freedom of the people by gradual silent encroachments of those in power than by violent sudden usurpation." Our enemies taking away our freedom are within. They've been doing it slowly. Slowly, until our day, and now they're going full speed, warp speed, to take away our freedom. And we need a miracle from God, because we're living in uncertain days in terms of our earthly future. Pastor called me not long ago, and he said, "I would like for you to come and teach all of our parents every day on how to be prepared for what is coming." People need that. Because our earthly future, in terms of our earthly future, we're living in uncertain times. But when we read what the psalmist wrote, in Psalm 118, we can be sure that we're looking forward to an unclouded day. Amen. In terms of our eternal future. I like that song that we sing about the unclouded day, where all is peace and love and joy, and the soul of man never dies. Oh, the land of cloudless day. We're not there yet. But one thing we can know for sure is, because of Jesus, our future is as certain and as secure as anything could be. So it's a day of rejoicing. You know, it's a day to really get with it. Sunday's really a day to really get with it in rejoicing. Amen. And we ought to look like we're rejoicing. Amen. And not be inhibited about be rejoicing. Amen. It's a day for remembrance all over the country today, especially for Christians. And it is a day for rejoicing. But I want to close with this. It's a day for renewal. Amen. It's not a day to crawl into any foxhole somewhere, pull the dirt in after you. Amen. It's not that kind of day. It's a day for renewal where our country is concerned. See, when people walk out back there in the day when we walked out on Decoration Day and we looked over all of those tombs where veterans had died and so on and so forth, and if you've ever taken a walk through or drive through Arlington Cemetery, those sort of things, all of that, it's a day to be stirred. These are times that ought to stir us, not to just give up and give in. This is a time to be renewed. And where the church is concerned, we need revival. We need a renewal of patriotism, but we sure need a renewal of revival. And I think when the churches get revived, one of the side benefits of that will be a renewal of patriotism. Let me read you something that Abraham Lincoln said in the Gettysburg Address. He said, the brave men living and dead who struggled here have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion. That we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain. Amen. That this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom. And the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth. And I wonder if it occurs to many people that these may have died in vain, where a lot of 21st century Christians, present day Christians, Americans, are concerned. Now what this is, just what Lincoln was saying where the country is concerned, is that we have something that needs to be protected. We have something, he was saying, our country that needs to be preserved. But we need to look at that in terms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, His church, and the work that He's given us to do. There's something that needs to be protected, that needs to be preserved, that needs to be preached. There needs to be a renewal of lifting up of the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. We need to trim some fat off here and there, some extraneous things in this day in which we live, and get back to getting the cross lifted up. If there's anything God will bless, it's the preaching of the cross. We need to lay hold of the cross, beloved. Lay hold of the cross of Christ as never before. Jesus said to the rich young ruler, take up thy cross and follow me. We need to tighten our grip on the cross and lift it up as never before. Not just in the church, outside the church, in the way we live, the way we look, everything about us. Matthew 8 and 34, Jesus, when he had called his disciples, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, this is where the renewal comes in, let him deny himself. This was brought out by someone in a comment in a Sunday school lesson. Our big problem today is self. That's the big anchor weight on the work of Christ and of the church is self. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We need to lift it up higher than we ever have. Jesus said, this is so powerful, so potent, so impotent. He said, and I, if I be lifted up, you can take this to the bank, will draw all men unto me. Whatever color their skin is, wherever they're geographically situated, whoever they are, if only I'm lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. I want to say this, beloved, before I close. We need a renewal of that. We need a renewal of patriotism, love of country, hatred for sin, recognition of scoundrels, imprisonment of criminals. Amen. Amen. Whether they're in Washington, D.C. or Hollywood or Wall Street, they need to go to jail like any other criminal. We need a renewal of common sense and sanity. But the church needs a renewal of getting back onto the old paths and getting excited about it. Amen. If I be lifted up, that's a promise to us. Amen. When the preacher preaches, remember this promise. If I be lifted up, Jesus said, I'll draw all men unto me. Here's the deal. Whoever's lost right here, right now, Jesus has been lifted up. And you, according to his promise, have been drawn. But here's the rub. You can draw back, you can resist, you can bow your neck. But the fact remains, whenever, wherever he is lifted up, people are drawn, and it's to their own condemnation if they're not drawn all the way to the cross and to Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Let's have an invitational hymn. Just a verse or two, however you feel about it. Let God deal with your heart. He's dealing with my heart about it. We need renewal. We need renewal. Amen. I mean, the fires have burned low. There's barely any embers in many places. Show that, man. We need the breath of the Holy Spirit to blow on those embers. We need to kick and to stir and get the fire going again. How is it in your life as a Christian? Are you on fire for Jesus or just barely smoking a little bit? If you answer that question and respond accordingly. If you're lost, come to Christ before it's too late. You're being drawn. Don't say you're not giving it a thought. If you've given it one thought, just cross one thought, that's because the Holy Spirit gave you that thought to draw you.